And now we can go into the message of today. The message of today, a continuation of what was happening last Sunday. So if you are writing and you have not been here with us, the theme for this year, 2021, is God's Army Advancing. And in that, we have done several the series we are doing is our theme verse. It is our theme series. And therefore, we are continuing to build up on the same. In this theme series, we have dealt with a number of things, and I want to link up. We started by the theme. The exposition of this theme, we started by understanding our theme verse, which is Micah chapter 2 and verse 13. Micah chapter 2, verse 13. And I want to read. I know we have read many times, but allow me to read. I'm reading through NILT, New Living Translation. It was entitled, Envision This. God is reading a prayer. Out. God is reading a breakout. God is reading a breakout from the norm. So it reads like this, our theme verse for the year. I'm saying this because I can see many people who have not been here with us. The theme verse I read, your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gate of the enemy's cities, back to your own land. Your king will lead you. The Lord himself will guide you. And what we are trying to convince our mind, what we are trying to figure out, to envision, is that God is leading a breakout from the situations that may have frustrated your life. You may have looked, or you are looking at your life and you can see, you can tell, I have been under a bondage. Nimekuwa nimefungwa miaka yangu yote. But believe you me, God is leading a breakout. And to answer part one, that we said, we are walking with the breaker. We are walking with the one that breaks out, who is leading us to break out. And that was entitled, Walking with a Breaker, a Call to Discipleship, Following the Lord as He Leads the Breakout. You see, if you are in captivity, and the Lord comes and breaks the doors, and breaks the walls, and you do not follow, you are as good as a person that remains in slavery. You remember a series we did last year, and I gave the story of the slave trade. The slave trade that in one of the states, many years after the slave trade was declared illegal and all the slaves were declared free, we still had slaves 30, 40 years down the line in one of the states because they did not know that they have been set free. So the Lord is leading a breakout, but it is upon us to decide to follow the Lord. So we said, we discern the direction God is going. Number one, please discern the direction God is going in your life. What direction is God taking you? And once you have discerned, once umeiona ya kwamba hii ndio njia Mungu ambao ananielekeza, then you follow him with a whole heart. You follow him wholeheartedly. So discern and follow, and then discipleship is not just a walk. It's not just taking a walk after the Lord, following the Lord. Discipleship is a call to battle, but victory is guaranteed. I don't want to take too much time. And our theme verse was on that envision the breakout, we were being read a text. Our text was Isaiah 57. And 57 verse 14 to 15, we looked at, we have been or the Lord is breaking the walls, he's reading the breakout so that we can worship him. A call or an invitation to experience and enjoy him in fullness. We are called also to experience deep reverence of him. So this road leads us to a holy God, and therefore we can only be holy. It demands also that if we are following the Lord, let us follow him with humility and brokenness. And we said that brokenness is the worshipper's daily pursuit. It is a journey, not a destination. Hatujafika bado. And now in part 3, we were looking at the highway. The Lord is calling us, or he is breaking out so that we can be healed. It leads away. The Lord leads a way of healing. And we asked ourselves, how is this healing? We broke it into 4 parts. Number 1, healing our backsliding. Number 2, healing our wounded emotions, our wounded hearts. That was last Sunday. And today, we are going to look at healing our physical ailment, physical healing. And finally, we are going to look at healing our community, or healing our land. So those are 4 areas of healing. So I want to read the text now. Isaiah chapter 57 from verse 14 to 19. I'm reading NLT. God says, rebuild the road, clear away the rocks and stones so that my people can return from captivity. The high and the lofty one who lives in eternity. The Holy One says, I live in a high and holy place, but with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. Verse 18, I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them, and I hid my face, in anger. Yet they kept on their way, willfully. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those who are far and those who are near, says the Lord. I will heal them. This is a promise of the Lord to heal his children that are wounded. And it doesn't matter what areas of your life is wounded. Like I have said, spiritually, the Lord desires to heal our backsliding. He also desires to heal our emotions, emotional healing. He desires to heal our physical bodies, and he desires to heal our country or our land. So in our declaration, we say that in this theme, the Lord is leading us out. We say that this will also be an year of physical healing. You know, sometimes when somebody is speaking and he's reading so much from his notes, sometimes he doesn't feel real. I don't know whether you experience that. But I want us to ask the question, can someone love God genuinely and suffer sicknesses? Mtu anaweza mpenda Mungu na wewe ni mgonjwa? Can a family love God and have sickness in the same family? Can we be a family that really loves God and yet there is sickness in that family? Now, the better question would be, can the Lord love you? Is it possible to be loved by the Lord and yet you are sick physically? Now, I do not know whether you are saying yes, because the other one, you are pretty audible. That you can love God and still be sick physically. But can God love you and still be sick? For some reason, I had chosen to ignore the physical healing, because the Bible talks so much about the physical healing. It has volumes and volumes of verses about what the Lord says about your physical body. I am the Lord that heals you. That healing is food for the children. I am the balm of Gilead. So many things. So many things about physical healing. But I was in the same topic. There is a heresy that goes out there. All evil, bad teaching that says all sicknesses is of the devil. There is a heresy that tells you that if you are sick, you must have sinned. God must be punishing you. You must have, you know, it is all about you letting God down. That is why you are sick. And Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest speakers and preachers, in a sermon that he preached in 1885, you know, sometimes I get amazed by the dates, because the revelation that those guys had, you read that sermon and you are like, wow, God, you had revealed yourself so much in 1885. Somebody, you know, Charles Spurgeon says in a sermon entitled First Healing and Then Service. He says that the heresy that I have talked about, the teaching of that sickness, all sickness is from the devil, that all sickness must be caused by sin, is not only a false teaching, but it is also a very, very cruel one. Why he justified that by a verse in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 8. For he who the Lord loves, he disciplines, he chastens, he chasten, okay. Munajua, eh? And scorcheth, now I'm using King James here. He chasteneth and scorcheth every son who he receives as a son. If you endure chastening from God, God deals with you as a son. For what son is he who the father does not discipline? I am now substituting that word. But if you are be without discipline, therefore you are a bastard and not sons. And I thought, really, for anybody to tell you that the only reason you could be physically sick or there is sickness in your family is because of sin, or it is because of the devil, he is only telling you that you have no part. God has no part to discipline you or to make you a better person. So I want to try and answer the question, can Jesus love you and you are sick? John chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sister Mary and mother. This Mary, who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus and telling him what? And what did they tell Jesus? Listen, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Now, can you see? You can still be loved by the Lord dearly, and he can be sick. You know, this is the only man that the Bible paints as a friend to Jesus. A very personal friend. The sisters knew. So they sent a message and they are telling Jesus, most of your version says, the one that you love is sick. So it is very possible not only to love God and to be sick, but for Jesus to love you, and not just to love you, but to love you dearly and still be sick physically. But if you follow the story of Lazarus, Jesus goes on doing ministry and he heals. If you are a Bible scholar, not necessarily a Bible scholar, if you are a Bible reader, you will know that at that point, he meets this commander who he says, my servant is very sick at home And Jesus says, I will go and heal him. But this guy, this centurion, tells Jesus, you do not have to. I am a man with authority. I know what happens when someone is in authority. I call my servant. I tell him, you come, and they come. I tell them, you go, and they go. And this centurion comes and says to Jesus, you do not have to bother yourself to go out of your way. Your word is enough to heal. Praise be to the name of the Lord. And Jesus looks at him and says, wow, I haven't come across this kind of faith even in the whole of Israel. And for sure, Jesus said the word. And the servant was healed wherever he was. So when this centurion goes home, he realizes the minute that the word was said, the minute he said that, the minute his faith about the Lordship of Jesus Christ was confirmed in his heart, spoken with his mouth, the miracle was taking place wherever it was needed. Hallelujah. Believe you me, the minute your faith is confirmed and it comes out of your mouth, it can be done wherever it is needed. Jesus said, the centurion says, I do not have to be there. So he goes to the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And what happens? Lazarus is sick and he goes from one level to the other. And he goes to the ultimate that he is dead. But praise be to the name of the Lord. It all brings honor and glory to the Lord. Let our physical ailment, let our physical sickness end in one thing. The glory of the living God. Whether it takes us to the grave, whether it may be reverted somewhere in the course of the way, let it be for the glory of the living God. Jesus is glorified. Three things that we observe from the case of Lazarus. Number one, Jesus is Lord. I tried to check all translations I could get about how these ladies addressed the Lord Jesus. And the message they sent was clear. Lord, the one that you love is sick. All translations agreed. You know, when you are sick, when Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, was sick, one thing that didn't change, Jesus remained Lord. Hallelujah. Whether you are sick, whether you are healed, still the Lord remains God. It reminds me of the days that we used to translate many sermons. And my language is not very bad. Okay, I know there are some people who are more, you know, when Pastor Kingoli stands to preach, I sound like I come here to speak in Kikuyu. He comes and uses all the big words. Mine are all small words. I have two of them. So when I, in Kikuyu, Pastor Robert used to make sure that all of us feels like we are using our mother tongue. He's the only one that would speak in English. And Pastor Kingoli came with me. Unfortunately, he continues making me to feel the same. So the day of translating our messages, and there is this message that one preacher came to preach, and it opened up my mind. And the topic was, Jesus is alive and well. And the translation opened my mind. And in Kikuyu, it sounds so nice. But I'm afraid I don't want to say it in Kikuyu. Jesuwe mwoyo na timuruwaru. You know, Jesus is alive and he is healthy. Whether you are sick or not, he remains Lord and he is not sick. Praise be to the name of the Lord. You know, talked about translations. I will never forget this. A brother who was translating about a shop which was a wine and spirits bar. And the preacher talks about a shop that sells wines and spirits. And the other one translated, ya kwamba kuna duka inauzwa pombe na maroho. I mean, You know, wines and spirits ni nini? Sio mara. So those things, those translations were very good. When somebody tells you in Kikuyu that Jesus is alive and well, it sounds very real. That he is alive and he is not sick. And these people knew that. Mother and Mary knew whether Jesus comes to heal their brother or not, he remained Lord. Because many people, when we get sick, when there is death in our homes, we ask the question, where is God? And I would want to answer you, before you ask that question, that God is still where you left him last. Ulimuona wapi mwisho? He's still on the throne. Praise be to the name of the Lord. He has not moved. He is not about to move. Whether you are sick, whether you are dead, whether whoever is dead, he remains on the throne. Mahali ulimwacha mara ya mwisho, bado ako hapo. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So it is you. If you cannot see him, the question is, who moved? Because God remains on the throne. If you have not very clear picture and you are asking where is God, the answer is, God did not move. You must have been the one who moved. It reminds me of a couple that bought a car when they were newly married, trying to figure out who is newly married here. The last wedding we had in the time of Corona, I'm trying to figure out. At least Yamak hatukuenda, tulimuonea tu kwa mtandao, but we knew he did a wedding. So when they bought a car when they were this young in marriage, one person that used to observe them as they drove to work, at some point he could only see two people, one person. You know, from a distance unaangalia unaona hiyo gari iko na mtu mmoja. Kwa sababu they are both seated on the edge. You know, one is seated at the edge of the seat, the right one and the left one. So, ukiangalia kwa mbali, unaona ya kwamba kuna mtu mmoja. But after a few years, you could tell distinctively this car has two people. And when the wife complained, the husband asked, who moved? Who do you think moved? I leave it there. And I leave. Chances are the driver didn't move, didn't you? No, it depends with who is the driver. I don't know why the lady is thinking about there. Nobody said that the man was there, did I? No, I didn't. Yeah, the cute ones are afraid. Pauline anasema tunawaonea. Maybe the lady was the driver. But the question is, who moved? The co-driver. Now, we don't know who is the co-driver, but the co-driver moved. Let's leave it there. So one thing that is sure, Jesus is Lord. He remains on the throne. He will always be there. Confirm, he is there. He will always be there. If you can't see him, chances are you are the one who moved. Now let's continue. The second thing, we said three things that comes out clearly from the story of Lazarus, that whether you are sick or whole, Jesus loves you. And they say, the one that you love is sick. You know, Jesus loves you. And thirdly, you still love Jesus even in your sickness. You can still love Jesus even in your situation. Pengine unaangalia unashindwa, kwani kwetu ni nini hiyo iliendelea huko? Yes, kuko vile kulivyo, Yesu anawapenda, nyinyi mnampenda, na bado yeye ako katika kiti chake cha enzi. Hallelujah. Amen. And I was thinking about a people that loved the Lord. This story came to mind, and I want to read two portions of scripture very fast. Among the things that you know, the Bible is very interesting to read. When it tells you Pauline alikuwa ametoka a place in Nyakach, it cannot tell you that for nothing. When it tells you that my brother Samuel comes from Korea, it just cannot tell you that for nothing. So this story, John chapter 1 and verse 43 to 44. Listen, just one verse, but it tells you something very interesting. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come and follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida. Andrew and Peter's hometown. So now, unaona ya kwamba, he goes to a different place. He goes to a place called Galilee and he finds somebody. I mean, he finds Philip there. But he says Philip was not from there. Philip was from Bethsaida. And that same town, kulikuwa na watu wengine ambao walikuwa wanaitana ile jina kina Purity wanaitana wa kwito. Sasa wa kwito wa Philip alikuwa ni nani? Andrew and Peter. Now, can you leave that one there? So ujue ya kwamba Peter alikuwa ametoka wapi? Hey guys, I don't think you are following me. Right, so we can hear that. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 to 15. When Jesus, if you read that from hapo mbele, you now see Jesus entering Capernaum. We now see, now I am reading verse 14. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Now, the story starts there when Jesus and Jesus entered Capernaum. So now we see that Peter is no longer identified with his place where alikuwa ametoka. We see him having a house in a different place called Capernaum. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. She then got up and prepared a meal for him. I'm trying to figure out how to bring out my context here. You know, I'm reading today. I feel like I am abstract, you know, coming from one place to another. I'm talking about where did Peter come from. Initially, we see the Bible telling us clearly, alikuwa wa town inaitwa Bethsaida. But we see Jesus getting into Capernaum, and we find Peter has a home there. Now, somebody read this, and I don't want to agree with him or to deny. I don't know. Men, which problem do you see? When Jesus enters Peter's home, Peter's mother-in-law, some of you are already getting the joke. Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left. Now, somebody was preaching on this and said Peter had two major problems. One was bigger, the first one. The second one was easier. Sorry, you're not getting the joke. Especially for men. The first one. The first one and the biggest was the mother in the home in your house. The second one was the sickness, it was easier to deal with. Pauline is asking, what is so big about the mother-in-law? If you watch the program of the mother-in-law, then that's only time you can know. So Peter had two major problems. Number one was even harder. Peter's mother-in-law was in the house. That is a big problem by itself. The second one was sick. But now, let's ask ourselves. This Peter is the same Peter that came from Bethsaida. Now he has a home in Capernaum. How did he get himself in Capernaum? you will realize that Jesus had a way ambao alikuwa anazunguka tu, lakini anaenda kuhubiri or to do ministry in that place called Capernaum. Now, Peter realized that Jesus was a frequent minister there. History has it, he considered relocating from his hometown so that he can be of help to the ministry of Jesus. There are not many people who use that part of the ministry, the decision to do ministry or to live where they live, and they consider first and foremost, where do I want to do ministry before I talk about relocating? But thank God for some people that they ask themselves, if I was to relocate from Kasarani, and I'm not saying people living in Kasarani are any evil or any better. If I was to relocate from Kasarani, would I be of greater ministry to the church where I serve? Peter thought, I serve in a ministry, and this ministry frequents Capernaum. I want to relocate there so that when the master is not ministering, he can come and take rest in my house. That is how now Peter, that is now how Jesus gets himself in Peter's house in Capernaum, yet he comes from the other place. So, Peter longed to be of use to the master. And sometimes there are decisions that we make that affect us later. You know, chances are that if Peter did not make that decision before that, the mother-in-law would have been in the other place. But he made a decision that brought the healer into the presence of the sick. Praise be to the name of the Lord. There are those decisions that we make that lead us into the line where we encounter the master of life himself. You know, I'm sure later on, Peter is looking at the decision he made much later and realized, I thank God I made this decision to relocate and to become of use to the master's ministry, because it has become a great blessing to me and my family. Now, when you make that decision, Peter made that decision and it brought restoration into his family. I am sure, like Peter, if the mother-in-law is in your house, you may not be very comfortable. But when he is sick, when she is sick, you are even more uncomfortable. But Peter brings in the Lord Jesus, and when he comes, he touched the mother-in-law, and healing came. I want to observe just one thing. Healing, in this case, precedes service. How do I say this? The Bible says, and when Jesus walked in and touched the hand, Jesus walked in, touches the hand of this old woman, and she got restored. And once she got restored, her physical ailment was cleared from her body, and she rose up and she served them. Praise be to the name of the Lord. The Lord's healing should lead us into the service. Why the Lord wants to heal us is not just to go and show him off how fat and how beautiful and how well built we are. The Lord wants to heal us that we can do ministry, that we can serve him. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So the ministry of the Lord about healing is directed to you. But is it leading you to serving him? The mother-in-law knew better, that if I will be healed, you may have a condition that you are living with the whole of your life. But the question is, if you are healed, would it serve for the glory and for the honor of God? God wants to lead you into the way of healing. Your family could be in a mess, But God wants to heal that family. But he wants to confirm from the bottom of your heart, would the healing of your family lead to the glory and honor of God? Healing precedes service. There are many of us that cannot serve God because you are sick in many areas of your life. You are emotionally sick. You are bitter with things that happened in your past. Like we were saying on Sunday, things that happened when you are a small boy, things that happened when you are a small girl. Fine, your father did what he did, your mother did what they did, your mother left you, your father left you. All those, you could be sick, suffering from so many ailments of the heart and of the body. But would the healing of your heart bring honor and glory to Jesus? The minute you answer yes to that question, I am telling you, the Lord will proceed healing you so that you can serve him for the glory and honor of his holy name. Would you yield yourself to the healing power of Jesus Christ? The moment you will yield to the healing of Jesus Christ for the glory and honor of his name, he will heal you in all areas of your life. And as I come to the end, okay, I don't know, I am somewhere, I'm going to the finish. Now, the Lord, once he has healed you physically, he has healed you spiritually, he has healed you, we started by saying spiritually, emotionally, physically, he wants to use you to heal your land. Isaiah 57:19, it says, creating praise on their lips, peace, peace to those who are far and those who are near, says the Lord, I will heal them. The Lord is promising healing. And once the healing comes, it is not just for you. It is to affect you, peace to you who is near, peace to them that fellowship with you in your house, in your church, but also to those who are far. How do we get to heal our land, our communities? How does our healing, how would our healing reach far and wide? It will definitely, if we become the ambassadors of Christ. Let me ask this question to you. Who is the light of the world? Please answer me, because we know. Come again. Now, all of you are right. Please speak louder. Because we have two different answers that some of us have been intimidated by those who are louder. Let me assure you, there is no wrong question. Who is the light of the world? Okay. Can we outshine each other? No, can we outshout each other? Number one, now let me ask the question and please answer it boldly. Hallelujah. Who is the light of the world? Now, I, believers, Jesus. Now, when I talk about the light of the world, many people will get Matthew 14. Okay, before we get to, I don't want to start by discrediting those who say a different thing. The people who are saying Jesus, if you read, and I would want to read for you, John chapter 5 and verse 9, it says something very interesting. And I looked at this and I was like, yes, we need to wake up to this realization. And Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. As long as. That is what your Bible says. That Jesus being light of the world has a time frame on it. And when did it end? How long did it last? As long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. And if you are not sure of that, he says, now I live and I go to the Father. But I will not leave you as orphans. I want to tell you that when, you know, Jesus himself defines his period of being the light of the world that way. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. His mandate has a time frame on it. So what happens after that? And I want to read Matthew 5 and verse 14. Answering the same question. And it reads, you are the light of the world. Whoever said Jesus, you are correct. Whoever said you are the light of the world, listen, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light therefore shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. So when Jesus talks about you being the light of the world, he talks about something that he has done. For as long as he has been on this earth, he has been the light of the world. But he leaves that mandate to me, that mandate to you, that you will be the light of the world. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 28. The first verse 28, it talks about the problems of the land that we are living in, or they are living in as the children of Israel. And I read, whenever there is, now this word we keep quarreling with my wife. Is it famine? Okay, I don't know. Let me read for the pressure of my wife who is not there. She keeps telling me, no, that word is famine. Okay, whenever there is famine in the land, pestilence, or blight, or mildew, locust, grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land and their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever your prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, Israel, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spread out his hands to this temple, I will hear. Now, the first portion of that scripture describes the problem that we can find ourselves as a land. And it starts with the word whenever, initial that is dealing with the time. It doesn't matter where you are on the timeline. On the timeline, there was the before Christ and the years after Christ. Whether you are that side or this side, it starts by saying whenever. Whenever means at all times. There is famine in the land, pestilences, or blight, or mildew, locust. All those are problems. Okay, have we seen famine in our land? Have we seen famine in our land? Have we seen pestilences in our land? Have we seen locusts in our land? Okay, that one is a little louder. Has our land been besieged? And it says our land or our city. These are problems that we have seen. And then, whatever plague or sickness. Have we seen plagues? Have we seen sicknesses? You know, it is so life in the time that we are living. Whenever, I talks about time. Whatever the plague, it doesn't matter the kind of a plague, the kind of sickness. Now, the other portion of it deals with the remedy. Deals with the mitigation factor. How do we mitigate this? We can only mitigate it through prayer. And it says, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made So the only way to deal with the situations in our land, it can only be by prayer, by supplication. But also we ask ourselves, it's prayer made by who? By anyone. I mean, any one of us. You are part of the anyone. I am part of the anyone. And it says, any one of you, by all by one, we can do it as a group, we can do it as individuals. But there are some terms, there are some conditions. Nowadays we live in a generation of terms and conditions. Our brother Wilson should have been here to tell us some terms and conditions, and we all know them. That Safaricom will give you the services and they will tell you terms and conditions apply. Now, the Bible also has some terms and conditions. And the conditions is, now the third portion of that scripture, we have said the first one deals with the problem, the second one deals with the remedy, the third one deals with the terms and conditions. It says, is anyone, prayer and supplication made by anyone or by all people. Terms is when each one knows his burden and his belief and his grief, and he spreads his hands in this temple. The conditions that the Lord is asking or he is giving of us. Number one, each knowing their own burden. My brother, you cannot live a burdenless life and expect yourself to be effective in the community that you are living. If it doesn't bother you how your drunkard neighbor behaves, if it doesn't bother you how the families next to you keep quarreling right, left, and center, my brother, you cannot be effective. The Bible, the terms and conditions, when each one of you knowing the burden of their heart. What burdens you? Are you burdened by the sickness in your community? Are you burdened by the sickness in your family? Are you bothered by the sickness in our nation and also in the whole of our world? Once you take that and you kneel down before the Lord, carrying the burden in your heart, the Lord is bound to do something. When each and every one of us knows their burden, brethren, the way to change your people. I tell you, many are the people that are sick. And they are not just sick physically. In all the areas we have dealt with, we have our brothers, we have our sisters. If I asked how many of us have a brother or a sister or a father who is sick, you know, emotionally, they cannot do without drugs. They cannot do without drunkenness. I am certain that most of us here have situations that they can deal with. If I start asking us, how many of us did our fathers or does, or how many of us can comfortably say that I have no one that is sick in my community or in my family? Largely, most of us will have people that are sick. And the Lord says, whatever the problem, the plague, the sickness, whatever, you can only mitigate this by prayer and supplication made by any one of us or made by us as a group, but with a burdened heart, with a grieved heart. My brother, if you cannot cry for your father, for your mother who is sick, who will? If you cannot cry for your brother who is tormented by the enemy in the dungeon of drugs and drunkenness, if you cannot cry for them, tell me who will? You live a burdenless life that even the I'm trying to look for the word they use for the European Cup of whatever, moves you greater than your brother who is sick. You know, when Manchester is praying, you'll be moved. When they lose, you will be moved more than you are moved by your brother and your sister who is sick and lost in sin. The Lord is saying the condition to have things changed is a burdened heart, is a grieved heart. Have you been grieved by the situation back at home? One of my mentors used to tell me, my brother, we used to talk about our siblings, and I used to tell them of what I was going to share with him a situation we were praying, and ananiambia, oh, kwenu kuna mtu mmoja tu anawasumbua, thank God. Kwa wengine kuna wawili. You know, in all these families, there is one person, yumunajiulizaga, who you, exactly what happened. So ikiwa mkona moja, thank God, kuna wengine wakona wawili. But the Lord asked of you, are you burdened? Are you praying? Are you crying? Are you grieved by that? Do you surrender that situation to the Lord? The Lord desires to partner with you in changing their lives. Terms and conditions apply. One who is carrying their burden, do you know your burden? Do you know your grief? And are you there in total surrender? Whose heart do you get moved? Do you get burdened by what burdens the Lord Jesus? And when you get burdened, the result will be that they may fear. That they may fear God and walk in his ways. This week, this is a testimony that I just want to share about the burden of your heart. I don't know what moves you, but for me, when I see lost men, particularly men, it moves me. Moves me so much. I wouldn't start telling you the kind of things that I do, but I pray for them. Sometimes I pray and you will find, you know, I see men who are lost in sin. I see men who are completely enslaved by the conditions that they are in. My tears, physical, would just flow, and I would look like a fool at times. I would look like I don't know what I am doing. But this week, I decided to just go out and share the gospel with men. And I like, you know, people out there, wanasema wanawake wote waliokoka. So kuna wengine wamebaki. That is not true. Eh? But they say all the ladies are saved. But for me, I do not get so moved by ladies. I get moved when I see men that are lost and enslaved by the enemy. So this week, as I do my kawaida job, I decided I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings right to men. And as I was sharing the gospel, in that small car of mine, I love it so much. Sometimes I use it as my office and I feel so proud. I shared the gospel with four young men. This week I have shared with many of them. I think like 8 or 9. And four of them, among the 8 that I shared the gospel with, 4 of them gave their life to Christ. 2 of them were already born again. 1 of them was confused, and another one that didn't want to hear any of that. But 4 of them gave their lives to Christ. And I want to ask you, what moves you? My brother, if you are only living a passionless life, that you are not grieved by anything, you know, you look at your father, you look at your mother, clearly knowing they are lost. You look at your brother and you know for sure they do not have a future. They do not have a hope. And you are comfortable, passionless life. What moves you? I choose to be moved by what moves the Lord Jesus Christ. I choose to be grieved by what grieves the Son of Man, the souls of men. And as I was among the people that I carried in my car this week, was one lady who was clearly a Christian from the time she entered that car. She had such a demeanor that would tell you, this one is a Christian. And the surprise was, when she enters, she confirms it. And she enters and starts talking on phone. Oh, praise the Lord. How is Ghana? How is... And she is... Actually, in the short time that we are together, she called 5 different countries. And she is talking about the church. She is talking about how the teams are doing in all these countries. But I was here, an arm length distance. She never told me about the Lord. Brethren, it moved my spirit. And when she was leaving, I told her, my sister, I wish you talked to me about Christ. You don't know whether I am a potential to that kingdom. People that are going far and wide, crossing the seas to tell about the love of Christ, and they leave those who are in their same compound. In the compound that you live, James, are there people that do not know the Lord? Kindly, you do not have to take a matatu to go and take the gospel elsewhere. Ikiwa huko kwenu kuna watu ambao hawajaokoka. And when I confronted her with that, because I decided this one I'm not going to leave, I'm just going to confront. She told me, oh, we are doing so much in our church. We have programs. I don't know, we go to the malls and we share the love of Christ with the people. I want to tell you, the gospel will never be effective as long as it remains a program in our church. As long as we remain the people that will stand here and say that we are going to take a week or two of witnessing, the gospel will never change lives. It is until you get burdened. It's until you get bothered by what bothers the Lord Jesus Christ, lost souls. That is when you become the right of the world. How many teachers are in that staff room? How many people are in that bank? How many people do you meet when you go out there? Kuwawekea kioo, my brother John, do you tell them about the love of Christ? How many students are there in that class? You are the light of the world. May the Lord help us, that we may be clear about this. We are the light of the world. Jesus has given this mandate to us. Our community depends on us. Our country depends on you. The home that you come from, the extended family, their future is in your hands. Allow me to conclude and ask yourself, are you the salt that you ought to be in the community that you live in? Healing our land will never start with the politicians. It will start with you. It will start with me. The day you take it upon you that this gospel was entrusted to me as an individual, and you go out there and decide to make a change in one soul, you will have started a step into healing your land. And your land starts with your home. Your home, where you live with your wife, with your children, can they see the light of Christ emitting from you? Do they see and taste the salt that they interact with every single day? My brother and my sister, and I am repeating myself, you cannot live a burdenless life, a passionless life, and still be effective for the kingdom of God. You've got to carry the burden that comes from your heart. Terms apply, conditions apply. You cannot live without a burden and make any effect for the kingdom of God. The Lord is asking you, have you carried the burden? Do you understand the burden that the Lord has entrusted into your hands? It's got to start with you before it goes out there. Your family can change. Maybe in your family there is no one that knows the Lord, that confesses the Lord as their personal savior. You could be the only one. Start there. Kneel down. Pray for them. Cry and weep for them. When is the last time you shed a drop of tears for the sake of your lost father or mother? When is the last time you shed tears for the sake of your brother who is lost? for the sake of your sister and for the sake of the whole community where you live. That is the only way, like Elijah, you will do. Become the, you treat the water that they came to him and said, servant of God, this water is bitter. The water can be sweet again, using you, because God has entrusted this gospel into you.